It's time to get your news on. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.
National news it is for week commencing April 20, 2025. And this week, WIA's Grant VK5GR with news from the International Amateur Radio Union, WIA Directors VK8ZZ Peter and VK3FY Chris, and WIA President Scott Williams VK3KJ. But wait, there's much, much, much more in this edition of news from your Wireless Institute of Australia. I'm Editor Graham, VK4BB.
Australia's ham radio news station. We are VK1WIA.
This is WIA President Scott Williams, VK3KJ, and welcome to all listeners to the WIA National News Broadcast this week. Last week on the 13th of April, the WIA held a meeting with WIA-affiliated clubs. Around 35 clubs attended the meeting with the president or a delegated member of the club in attendance. The goal of the WIA is to hold three meetings each year, and the purpose of these meetings is to brief clubs on a range of issues and in general provide an update on WIA activities. These meetings are chaired by myself as president, with a range of speakers addressing various matters. Items discussed last week included club insurance. A general update was provided as to the 2025 renewals, with many club policies becoming due on the 1st of April. There was some general discussion around insurance and coverage of some club activities. Around 100 WIA-affiliated clubs enjoy the group discount managed by Gipps Insure. An update was provided on the status of affiliated clubs. To be eligible to be a WIA-affiliated club, at least 25% of club members must be WIA members. We continue to encourage clubs to promote the WIA where possible. There was a brief discussion on 60-metre band access. Grant Willis, VK5GR, provided an overview as to why access to 60 metres is currently forbidden. There was an update on the consultation and pending WIA submission on the ACMA five-year spectrum outlook, FISO. Grant Willis provided an overview of the WIA submission. Class licensing survey. Justin Giles Clark, VK7TW, provided an update on the class license survey. With over 1,300 participating in the survey, this will allow the WIA to make an informed and strong submission to the ACMA. Finally, Grant Willis spoke about the 40-metre band plan and the work that has been occurring to try and achieve some level of harmonisation. The meeting was wrapped up with some general business and a few questions. The WIA would like to extend our thanks to all affiliated clubs that attended, and another briefing will be held in July-August timeframe. Just a reminder, the WIA AGM will be held on Saturday the 3rd of May at 3 p.m. Melbourne time at the Shamrock Hotel in Bendigo, Victoria. The event, known as the Amateur Radio and Technology Expo, will be hosted by the Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club and will run over the weekend of the 3rd and 4th of May. It's shaping up as a wonderful weekend with already strong registrations. The live cross to the International Space Station and Telebridge will sure to be a highlight on the Saturday evening, along with the ever-popular networking dinner. I look forward to seeing you in Bendigo in just a few weeks' time. That's it for me this week, and this has been Scott Williams, WIA President, on behalf of the WIA Board. Best wishes.
This is Chris Dimitrievich, VK3FY, WIA Director, with a brief update on our recent submission to the Australian Communications and Media Authority, the ACMA, regarding the draft five-year spectrum outlook, FYSO 2025-30, and the 2025-26 work program. The Wireless Institute of Australia, WIA, thanks the ACMA for the opportunity to contribute to this important consultation. In our submission, we've identified several key focus areas that we believe are vital to support and growing the Australian Amateur Service over the coming year. We have asked the ACMA to prioritise resolving the outstanding issues with the documentation that supports an amateur's rights to operate under the Radio Communications Amateur Radio Stations Class Licence 2023. Addressing long-standing concerns with the management of amateur radio call signs in Australia's external territories and Antarctic regions. Committing to commencing work in 2026 on providing general access to higher transmitter power privileges for amateur operators. Improving the transparency and administration of the amateur service examinations, including a clear process for reviewing syllabi and exam questions. Fixing delays and confusion in the amateur assigned repeater and beacon call sign allocation processes. Considering expanding spectrum across the 51 to 52 megahertz and 5351.5 to 5366.5 kilohertz bands and preserving access to the critical 2300 to 2302 megahertz segment. We believe these areas are vital for ensuring the ongoing viability, vibrancy, and technical contribution of the amateur service in Australia. A full copy of the submission is available on the WA website. 73s from Chris VK3FY, WA Director.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now with international news, Jason, VK2LAW.
International news is with thanks to Amateur Radio Daily, ARRL, DX World, EHAM, Hackaday, IARU, ICQ Podcast, IRTS, Newsline, NZART, RAC, RadioWorld.com, RSGB, SARL, and the worldwide sources of the WIA. Leading this week's international news, radio amateurs of Canada, the equivalent of our WIA, had a massive turnout on air with their Get on the Air on World Amateur Radio Day special event, which encouraged as many amateurs as possible to contact as many RAC stations as possible. They operated right across Canada last Thursday the 18th, with many stations signing with the suffix RAC. If you worked any QSL via Logbook of the World or via the Bureau. Researchers are developing batteries that are made partially of paper, and the results have been showing varying degrees of promise, though none of them appear ready yet for portable ham radio. In France, a company is pioneering what it considers to be a single-use, eco-friendly alternative to the small button battery that's fully compostable when the user is done with it. More of a paper-based bioenzymatic fuel cell than an actual battery, it releases energy when moisture is released and comes into contact with the sugar and enzymes that are infused into a layer of paper between the unit's carbon electrodes. Generating only 0.75 volts, it still has a long way to go before it can power more than perhaps a sensor or medical device someday. 10 years ago, researchers in the US developed what they called microbial-based batteries. That is, they derived their power from bacteria's metabolism. Like its new French counterpart, however, the output has been deemed too low for practical use. ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio in the USA, filed comments with the Federal Communications Commission in response to its request for public input on alleviating unnecessary regulatory burdens by deleting or modifying rules in the matter of delete, delete, delete. Implementing ARRL's suggestions would promote and protect the art, science, and enjoyment of amateur radio and enhance the development of the next generation of radio amateurs. In response to ARRL's request, over 200 members submitted suggestions that were reviewed when considering what rules should be deleted or modified. ARRL will continue to engage with members and advocate for the amateur radio service. In its filing, ARRL asked the FCC to delete or amend rules such as delete the LF and VHF-UHF symbol baud rate and bandwidth limitations, update and modernise entry-level technician class licence privileges, delete and replace obsolete digital code limitations, and implement changes to third-party rules adopted internationally at WRC-03. Chinese police have accused the United States National Security Agency of launching advanced cyber attacks during the Asian Winter Games in February, targeting essential industries. Police added three alleged NSA agents to a wanted list and also accused the University of California and Virginia Tech of being involved in the attacks after carrying out investigations, according to a report by state news agency Xinhua. It did not specify how the two American universities were involved. However, the report contained a considerable amount of detail on the cyber attacks and the alleged individuals involved, and comes as the world's two largest economies spiral deeper into a trade war that's already spurred travel warnings for Chinese tourists going to the US and halted imports of US films into China. Who understands the pain of not being able to get on the air better than an amateur radio operator? So, when a small community broadcast station over in Tassie developed an issue that hampered their ability to transmit, some local hams came in to help them troubleshoot. The problem was twofold, both with the 10-metre-high baselink antenna and at the broadcaster's remote transmitter station. The cause wasn't completely clear, though, until Hayden, VK7 Hotel Hotel, and a friend hiked up a rugged mountain 1,100 metres above sea level, repaired the solar-powered FM band transmitter station by installing a temporary self-built antenna and got the station back on the airwaves. For WIA National News, in Sydney, I'm Jason, VK2LAW.
We are VK1WIA. Now, operational news with VK4FUQ, Felix.
Hello there. Activation for International Marconi Day. The Howth Martello Radio Group will once again be active as an all-world station during International Marconi Day, Saturday 26th of April. In 1905, the Marconi Company set up an experimental receiving station in the Martello Tower, monitoring transmissions from the RMS Monarch as it sailed to various locations in the RSC. The Martello Tower now houses the Eel Hurdy-Gurdy Museum of Vintage Radio, which was set up in 2003 by the late Pat Herbert. EI0MAR is a call sign of the amateur radio station in the tower. Patriot Radio Communications EI7PRC will operate from the Browhead in County York on Marconi Day as well. The club will use the special event call sign EI7IMD on April 26, and all QSOs are welcome. Now, contest-wise, 2025. The IAA 100th Anniversary Centennial QSO Party ends today, 20 April. This event has been celebrating the 100 years of the IARU. Each Tuesday evening in April sees the ZL2 GBA Memorial Sprints on 80 metres. 30 minutes each of CW, SSB and FT4. Take part in any or all segments. Exchange is your outside temperature. Anzac Day. Here is VK5GG.
I'm Graham, VK5GG, from the Fist Down Under CW Club. Next Friday, the 25th of April, is Anzac Day, and to mark the day, the Fist Down Under CW Club is holding a straight key day. Simply make five or more CW contacts using a straight key on any of the bands, 160 metres to 10 metres, including the WARC bands, to qualify for a straight key day certificate. Remember, being Anzac Day, the AX prefix can be used by VK participants. For full details, go to the Fist Down Under website at www.fdu.org.au. I'm Graham, VK5GG.
Harry Anshel Memorial 80 metre sprint, Saturday, May 3. May 17-18 is the Sangster Shield, QRP CW on 80 metres. Wind back the rig to give 5 watts and give it a go. Don Edwards Memorial Slam Was Contest, May 17-18. Details on the website sgars.org. Now the DX window to the world. Three to work. ZL6 ANZAC is the special event call sign for the ANZAC Day amateur radio operators operating from the Ryansel Fortress in Wellington, New Zealand. VI100SIG is the special call sign celebrating the centenary of the Australian Signal Corps during 2025. And of course, VI100IAAU out of Melbourne is on the air.
This is Grant, VK5GR, with news from the International Amateur Radio Union. On the 18th of April 1925, pioneering radio amateurs gathered in Paris to establish a new international union. This year, the International Amateur Radio Union celebrates its centenary and embarks on another century of innovation within a changing technology landscape. April the 18th, last Friday, also marked World Amateur Radio Day. This is when we, the member societies of the IAAU, can show our capabilities to the public and enjoy global friendship with other amateurs worldwide. For this centennial year, we dedicated the day to entering the next century of amateur radio communications and innovation. For the past 100 years, the IAAU has worked tirelessly to promote innovation in our field and to encourage the growth of amateur radio in communities throughout the world. As we look into the future, we hope that work will continue. Closer to home, we're now marking this significant milestone here in Australia. To celebrate the 100th anniversary, we are operating a special event station, Victor India 100 IARU. We can be found on multiple HF bands spreading the word of this milestone occasion. You can look for us throughout the month of April and take this opportunity to get this once-in-a-lifetime call sign into your logs. We hope to hear you on the air. Cheers and 73s from Grant, BK5 Golf Romeo, on behalf of the IARU.
Beacons. There are no more signals from VP8 ADE from Adelaide Island, the ice-covered island off the Antarctic Peninsula's west coast. The last day on the air for VP8 ADE, the 28 MHz low-power research beacon, was the 21st of February. WIA National News editor Graham has more.
It was put into service in the summer of 1979 at the British Antarctic Survey Base of Rothera. Its tour of duty was originally supposed to have lasted only 3 years as one part of a research program, according to Lawrence Howell, KL7L, who was the base radio operator at the time. The beacon's collection of critical data on global ionospheric propagation at the F2 layer proved so invaluable that it continued operating for another 4 decades. The beacon shared a small wooden hut with a 1950-era aircraft navigation beacon and with research equipment used for ionospheric D-layer scintillation research used by students of ionospheric researcher Dr. Roy Piggott. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
VP8 ADE was proposed by the Radio Society of Great Britain. It was coordinated with the British Antarctic Survey and the Falkland Island Radio Regulator. For WIA National News, I'm Felix, VK4FUQ, Inningham.
From here, there and everywhere, you've tuned to the Wireless Institute of Australia's National News Service. We are VK1WIA. Now, Special Interest Group News with VK3GTV, Cole.
Hello, first up in Worldwide Special Interest Group News, it's Summits on the Air Worldwide Flora and Fauna Program, Parks on the Air and other adventure groups. And without doubt, this was an adventure. SG1VA stroke A. It took place high upon a mountaintop in Greece, Mount Athos to be precise. It's about a de-expedition cut short, but finally contacts, as we've reported last week, validated by ARRL for DXCC. During the stay on Mount Athos, the local police opened an investigation of their operation based on a complaint regarding the alleged unauthorized presence of an amateur radio group in Mount Athos. They were told to cease the operation immediately and were invited to the local police station to give statements and to present paperwork. The local police concluded that indeed the paperwork, including the amateur radio license, the entry visas, and a written, stamped and signed Mount Athos 10-day permit for an amateur radio operation are all in order. The Mount Athos police forwarded the case file to the Thessaloniki prosecutor's office, who found that there were no legal violations and that there was no breach of the law. As such, the case was dismissed. All these prove beyond any doubt that the January 2025 operation was legit and is therefore valid. The whole SV1GA stroke A log has been uploaded to LOTW, and the OQRS on Club Log is open for those who would like to have a paper QSL card for this activation. Worldwide Special Interest Group's Final Frontier, a new breed of satellite and space-focused makers, is emerging. Several threads have come together pointing to a new breed of space-oriented individuals who may be attracted to amateur radio. Exploding interest in inexpensive small-board computers, SBC, satellite-specific firmware for handhelds, 3D-printed parts for satellite antennas, and soda can-size satellites and makers using small-board computers. According to Wikipedia, maker culture is a contemporary subculture representing a technology-based extension of DIY culture that intersects with hardware-oriented parts of hacker culture and revels in the creation of new devices as well as tinkering with existing ones. Taken as a whole, this points in the direction from which new hams, especially students and young adults, may arise. This article is the first of a series about makers as potential recruits for amateur radio clubs. To learn more about makers, simply go to YouTube. YouTube is an abundant source of maker videos, with some produced by satellite-oriented radio amateurs and others. The first pop star in space has landed, and her name is Katy Perry. Katy Perry has just become the first pop star to sing in space. But Lance Bass, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Sarah Brightman and Justin Bieber had their chance. The superstar launched on a suborbital trip with five celebrity women on Blue Origin's new Shepard rocket on Monday, April 14, cementing her status as the first pop singer in space. She even sang What a Wonderful World on the trip after seeing Earth from above. But that musical milestone in space history could have looked very different, because Katy Perry isn't the first performer with space ambitions. Sarah Brightman booked a 10-day trip to the International Space Station with Space Adventures in 2015 that she financed herself. The total price was never disclosed. Brightman underwent spaceflight training with Russia's space agency Roscosmos, the Gagarin Cosmonaut Training Center, and Energia, the makers of the Soyuz rocket. But despite being scheduled to launch on September 1, 2015 on a Russian Soyuz rocket, Brightman called the space mission off in May of that year, citing family concerns. So, how much for Katy Perry to go to space? On its first crewed flight in 2021, Blue Origin had auctioned off a seat for $28 million. The entire trip had but 4 minutes of weightlessness, which completed the brief foray into space on Monday, reaching the edge of the cosmos aboard one of billionaire Jeff Bezos's rockets. Worldwide Special Interest Group's IOTA changed to qualifying islands for AS-178P. The IOTA directory currently lists Pillar Rock as the only island qualifying for the Andhra Pradesh State North Group, AS-178P. Recently, a close investigation of the rock has raised serious concerns about the safety of an IOTA radio operation. Advice from local fishermen is that the rock would be unsafe to climb, not because of the level of difficulty involved, but because of the risk that a part of the upper half of the rock could give way and break without warning. IOTA management has decided that any attempt to establish a radio operation from Pillar Rock would be too dangerous and is removing it with immediate effect as an AS-178P qualifier. Worldwide Special Interest Groups Military. The annual U.S. Armed Forces Day, AFD, cross-band test, hosted by the Department of Defense, is scheduled for Saturday, May 10 this year. The event will test two-way communications between military stations and amateur radio operators. The annual DoD message will be transmitted via RTTY on 14,667 kHz at 1400 and 2000 UTC. Military stations will transmit on selected military frequencies and announce the specific amateur radio service frequencies that will be monitored. All scheduled times will be in UTC, and the scheduled frequencies will be USB unless otherwise noted. For more than 50 years, military and amateur radio stations have taken part in this event. Information on frequencies, times, and other technical information can be found at DoD Mars, Armed Forces Day. And closer to home, a reminder, VI-100 SIG is the special call sign celebrating the centenary of the Australian Corps of Signals on air during 2025. Worldwide Special Interest Groups, Radio Amateur Young Timers, YOTA, Youngsters on the Air. And it's over to Alec, VK2MV.
Thank you, Cole. We have viewers, listeners and readers to this, your WIA national news from all around the world. So, if you are in Europe, this news is for you. If you are aged between 16 and 25 and are passionate about amateur radio, then this year's Youngsters on the Air summer camp will take place from 18th to the 25th of August at the historical Chateau de Jamville near Paris in France. The event is being organized by the French National Amateur Radio Society, REF, and the IARU. It is a chance of a lifetime for young members to represent their country and their national society. If you are ready for exciting experiences, would like to make new friends, and want to help shape the future of amateur radio, then your society would love to hear from you. And as many of we VKers don't have enough pocket money to attend, how about trying for some special event calls from Singapore instead? To mark the 60th anniversary of Singapore's independence, all members of the Singapore Amateur Radio Transmitting Society may use the prefix S60 instead of their usual 9V1 prefix until 9th of August. Special events are planned for introducing more young people to amateur radio through cooperation with the Singapore Scout Association and the Singapore School of Science and Technology. For WIA National News, I'm Alec, VK2MV in Sydney. Now back to you, Cole.
Thanks, Alec. Next up, it's Worldwide Special Interest Groups Radio Amateur Old Timers. Ham Radio Newsreader quits, age 101. Happy birthday and happy retirement to Peter Valentine, G0NQZ, who, upon reaching the age of 101 on the 12th of April, has decided to take things a little easier, but only just a little. Peter is still an active radio ham and participant in regular nets, including the HF nets of the International Shortwave League and the Radio Amateur Old Timers Association. Peter has to his credit an enviable record as a presenter for the Radio Society of Great Britain's GB2RS report. Best wishes and hope to catch you on the air, Peter. And that's the latest Worldwide Special Interest Group news. I'll have more next week. Until then, enjoy the Easter break and please take extra care on the roads. I'm Cole, VK3GTV.
It's a date. Clubs are welcome to email text with audio for this section. Just email and drop us that audio to nationalnews@wia.org.au. The big one coming up, the WIA AGM May 3 to 4, hosted by the Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club.
Thanks, Graham. An important reminder that the annual general meeting of the Wireless Institute of Australia is being held in Bendigo, Victoria on the 3rd of May. It is essential to register to attend either online or in person. There is no charge to attend the AGM. It is also essential to register to attend and prepay for the dinner on the Saturday night. The cost of the dinner is $35 per person. Dinner registrations can also be made on the AGM registration site. The dinner is open to both members and non-members. During the dinner, there will be a telebridge open to the International Space Station, and students from the local school will ask questions of the crew. The Bendigo Amateur Radio and Electronics Club will be holding a technology festival on Sunday the 4th of May at the Bendigo Showgrounds. There are trade displays, first responders, car boot sales, promises to be plentiful on the day. Entry costs to the festival is $7 at the gate. WIA members can purchase entry to the Technology Festival when they book for the AGM, bypassing the queue at the gate on the Sunday morning. Important to know that registration for the AGM, the dinner and the Technology Festival will close at 11 p.m. on Sunday the 27th of April, so one more week to go. So don't delay, get in quick and register to attend. Just again, registration to attend the AGM and the dinner will close on Sunday, the 27th of April, 2025. I look forward to seeing you all in Bendigo in May. This has been Peter Cleave, VK8ZZ, from sunny Walgett Beach in the Northern Territory.
Thanks, Peter. And also in May, VK2, Solitary Islands Beach Parkfest for POTA, 3 and 4 of May. And VK3, Moorabbin and District Amateur Radio Club's Hamfest, 10 a.m. May 10. And with that, it's time to walk softly. I'm out of here. I'm VK4BB, Graham.
From Australia, this has been the Wireless Institute of Australia with the weekly news service. This broadcast is in text, audio and video and is accessed on wia.org.au.